In Parshas Lech Lecha, it mentions a city called Damasek, or Damasek, which is still there in the world. It's called Damascus. It's in Syria. It's in the Arab country of Syria. It says Eliezer, Avram's servant, came from Damasek. And this story happens in Damascus a long time ago. Now, over there lived a big Balgaiva, an Arab Balgaiva. Now, he wanted everybody to give him kavod, to make a big deal out of him. He wanted people to make him to feel special. He wanted people to respect him. Now really he was a big nothing, so there wasn't a lot to show off about, because he really didn't have any special thing about him other than he was just an Arab living in Damascus. So, you know, by a Yid, every Yid is special and every Yid has a special thing. And Lahavdil probably by a Goy, you know, everybody has something special about them, but not necessarily do you show off to everybody and make everybody to respect you. You know, you just be yourself and that's good enough. But he wanted everybody to make him to feel like a big shot. So he acted like a big shot. Now, what did he do? He really didn't have anything special to be a big shot about. So he decided he's going to make up a lie and tell everybody a big Baba Maisa. And he started telling people, "Hey, do you know what I do on Friday?" And the other Arabs would say, "Oh, what do you do on Friday that we don't do? Because Friday is the holy day from the Arabs." Now, by a Yid, Lahavdil, we have Shabbos. But by the Arabs, they have Friday as their special day. Well, they go to their place where they daven. And the Arabs say, "I go to daven. You also go to daven, don't you?" And this big shot said, "I don't go to daven where you go to daven. I go to the main place where the Arabs daven." What? Now, by us, Kenalach, Lahavdil, where do we daven? We daven in the shul, and which way do we face? Towards Mizrach Zayit, towards the east side. Why do we face towards the east by Shemona Esrei? Because that is the direction of Yerushalayim, of Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they face towards Yerushalayim. The gate of the Tfilos is in Yerushalayim, in the place of the Beis Hamikdash. We face towards Yerushalayim. They face towards a place called Mecca. It's a city in Saudi Arabia. It's an Arab city. And they hold that this is their place, the main place, and they face Mecca. Now, Saudi Arabia and Mecca are hundreds of miles away from Damascus, from Damascus. And this big shot Arab, he tells his friends, "You know where I go every Friday in the time from the Arab davening?" "No, where do you go?" "Huh? I fly to Mecca." "What? You fly to Mecca?" Now, of course, this is without a plane. There's no such things as planes in those days. "How do you fly to Mecca? We see you later in the afternoon of Friday." "Impossible! You don't fly to Mecca." "Oh, yes, I do. And I fly there, I daven, and I come back. Every Friday, I fly to Mecca, and I come back." Now, Kenalach, you know what the Arabs did? "Oh, he very good. He very special. He fly to Mecca every Friday. Look, he fly to Mecca every Friday. Oh." And they tell the children, "You see, children, he fly to Mecca and back every Friday. He's special. Oh, he's special. Oh, everywhere he goes, he's special. Oh, look, he the man who fly to Mecca on a Friday. Oh." And he walks around the street and he's so proud of himself. Everybody's looking at him. "Oh, look, there's a man will fly to Mecca. Oh! And he gets a bigger Balgaiva and a bigger Balgaiva. And everybody, of course, believes it. They believe him. And the king, who lived there in Damascus, sitting on his throne, he tells one of his officers, I think that it's time to pick a new officer special for the king. I'm tired of all my officers. I need a new officer. Somebody special, that I need a special officer. And all of a sudden, they told the king, there is news around Damascus that there is a man, a very special Arab, but he fly on Friday to Mecca. And he fly back. And the king says, Oh, very special man. Bring him to my palace. And they bring the Arab to the king. And the king says, are you the special man what I hear about? Tell me what you do. Oh, king, I fly Friday to Mecca. And I fly back very fast. Every Friday, that's where I go, to Mecca. But the king says, oh, I can't do that. Nobody can do that. Only you. Oh, you want to be my special officer? Oh, king, yes, I do. But I would like you to make two rules if I'm your officer. After all, I'm special. I fly to Mecca and I fly back. The king says, what would you want me to make rules for you? Oh, I think it's good if when I walk in the street, everybody bow down to me. Oh, the king says, yes, this is a good rule. Everybody must bow down to you. You fly to Mecca. Everybody bow down to you. And another thinking, I think it's good if everybody must say, if it's daytime, if it's the daytime, everybody must say to me, a good day to you, officer. The king says, oh, that's good, yes. They say to you, a good day. Good day. And if it's night, they say, oh, a good evening to you, officer, or a good night. They must say that, or they go to the jail. Oh, the king says, yeah, that's good. We make everybody to do this. To bow down, in the daytime they say, a good day to you, and in the night, a good night to you. Ah, king, I be your special officer. I get a good uniform? Oh, yeah. Yes, you get a good uniform. Oh, yes. You get a beautiful uniform. And can I laugh this Balkaina? He goes around Damascus. The special officer walks around Damascus. Whatever Balgaiva he was, and big shot Mr. Matsias he was before, now he's a bigger Balgaiva than Mr. Matsias, man, walking around mountains like a turkey. Like a peacock. You ever saw a peacock strutting around? And every time he goes by people, the people say, a good day to you, officer. A good evening. And they bow down and they give him covet. And he was so proud of himself. And of course, everybody just believes what he says. He flies to Mecca on Friday. And he flies back because they saw him later on in the afternoon walking around. They all believed him. Do you know what he did? He just, you know, stays home, eats, drinks, stays in his house, fools everybody. One day, the officer is walking around the streets of Damascus. Everybody's bowing down and saying good day. All of a sudden, he passes by a group of Jewish children. Yiddish Akinolach. And they're playing a game. And they were so busy playing the game that either they did not notice the officer coming, or maybe they did notice him, but they just did not want to give him covet because they knew he was a big Mr. Baloney man. He had nothing to him and he was just a big shot show off, and they did not want to give him covet because they know that there's nothing to respect this man for if he's just making himself to be. Who deserves covet? You know who deserves covet? A person that shows honor for somebody else, it says in Pirkei Avos. A person that respects other people, that person is the one you respect. Did this officer respect other people? Or he wants only everybody to respect him? Do you think he respected any other people?
No.
No. The person that shows respect for another person, this is the kind of person you respect. This is what Pirkei Avos says. The officer was standing there next to the kinnelach, and they kept on playing the game. And he's waiting for them to say, "A good day to you, officer." And they didn't say it. They just kept on playing the game. And he got very upset. He says, "I'm going to wait right here because they're going to look at me pretty soon." Or maybe he talked like this: "I will wait here. They will look at me soon. They will tell me a good day." But they did not. And he got so angry, his face turned red. And he says, "You children, you don't see me, the important officer from Damascus. You don't wish me a good day. You don't bow down." And one little kid says, "What for? You're just a big shot. Why do we have to do that? What do you do for anybody else? You respect anybody else? No! You just go strutting around the town, making everybody bow down to you. What for?" Now, it's a little kid. And the officer got so angry, he says, "I'll throw you children in jail." He says, "I want them thrown in jail, in the dungeon." Now, he by himself to do it because they're making him angry. Maybe the king would not give permission for that. So he decides he's going to tell the king a lie about the children to get the king angry at the children. And then the king will throw them in the jail. "Ah, that's a good idea," he says. He goes to the king. He goes to the king's throne. The king is sitting on the throne. "King, I walk in the city and I see children playing." "Oh," the king says, "that's good, that the children play in the street, very good." "No, no, no. You know, king, the rule, everybody bow down and say good day, even children." "Yes, king, yes," the king say, "yes, that's what the rule is. Didn't the children to you say the good day and bow down?" "No, they didn't. They're busy. You know what they're busy doing? Making fun of the king." "What? Children to make fun from the king?" "Yes, Jewish children making fun. I listen closely what they say. They make jokes about the king, about their king, a big nose." "They're laughing at the king, a big nose, a funny face." "And they're laughing at the king. The king have a pimple on his nose." "They're laughing at the king." "What? They're laughing at me?" "Yes. They're making jokes. They're so busy making from you jokes, and they're laughing at you with the big nose, with the pimple. They can't even look at me to say good day and to bow down to me. They make jokes, other jokes about you, king." "What else jokes?" "I don't want to say, you'd be embarrassed. The king, the children, they're making fun from the king. They're laughing like it's a big joke. They draw funny pictures of the king with a big nose. The nose bigger than the king himself." "Oh, where are these children? Guards, put these children in the jail." And sure enough, Kinnelach, the officer, had what he wanted. The children should be punished. Of course, because they didn't bow down to him and give him covet. And they threw the children in the jail, in the dungeon. Later on, the Kinnelach did not come back to their homes. And their mommy and their tati worry about them. Where are the Kinnelach? They were just outside. And they go outside and the people say, "They took them to the king. They took them to the jail. The jail. They took them to the palace. They put them in the dungeon because they did not bow down to the officer." "Oy vey, they're locked up in the jail. What are we going to do?" "They say the king is angry on them." "Oh no, It's not true. They didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, the officer made up a lie. He told the king that they were making fun of him, and the king is angry on them, and the king will keep them locked up in jail. Oh no, what are we going to do? The Yidden made a meeting. Of course, they said Tehillim, and they get stuck here, and they got into Hashem. But they said, we have to go and do whatever we can in a regular way also. We have to connect to Hashem, and we have to do everything that the Torah says, and everything that our neshama has to do. But if we can do a thing in a regular way, we also have to do it. And they said, we're going to Reb Chaim Parchi. Now Reb Chaim Parchi was a very, very big Talmud Chacham, and he was also a very big businessman, and he was also very wealthy, very rich. And the king and the officers many times would go to Reb Chaim for different things, especially money. You know, the king always needed money for things. And the king would ask Reb Chaim to help with money or business things to get the king the things he wanted. So he was an important person in the eyes of the king. So they said to Reb Chaim Parchi, please help the children to get out of jail with a smart way that will be sure to get the children out. Because the king was very moody. Sometimes he would get upset, and like a baby, he just gets upset and you can't even speak to him. So if it's done in the wrong way, the king might even get more upset and just decide to keep the children there for Chas V'Shalom for who knows how long. And if it's in the right way, a smart way, the children will be out of jail. So they went to Reb Chaim Parchi for help. And Kemalach Reb Chaim was thinking, what could he do to help the children get out of jail? All of a sudden he got an idea. Reb Chaim had in one of the rooms of his house a beautiful jewelry collection. Some people collect coins, some people collect stamps, some people collect toy cars. It so happened that Reb Chaim had a collection of beautiful special kinds of jewels, and gold and silver and jewels, gems like rocks. He went into that special room. He opened up a drawer and he took out a string, and on the string were 99 special, beautiful jewels on a string, on a long string. And altogether, there were 99 jewels. Each one had like a hole drilled in the middle, and they put each one on a string, so it was like a long, like a necklace, but not around, it was down. Now, Reb Chaim has this plan. Now, when the Arabs would go to Davin, each one would hold in his hand a string with 99 beads. A bead was like a rock, a regular rock. Or it could be made out of plastic. In those days they didn't have plastic. But they used to have each one a string with 99 like little bollies made out of wood or made out of something, you know, whatever it was. It didn't have to be expensive. And the reason they would hold this in their hand is that each time they say a part of their davening, lahavdil, they would, I guess, push away a rock, like they would push it up. If they would say the next part, they would push the second stone and hold their fingers there. And each time they would say a part of their davening, they would push another stone. In case they would get mixed up in their davening and they wouldn't know where they're holding, they would say, oh, I don't know where I'm holding in the davening. Oh, let's see, I pushed up three stones. That means I said three things, so I have to say number four now. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Then he finds the place. Because altogether they have 99 things they say. And if he already pushed up 10 and he gets mixed up, he says, oh, I forget what I said. Oh, what do I say now? Oh, let's see, 1, 2, 3. Oh, 4, 5, 6, 10. Oh, I pushed up 10, so I mean it must mean I'm holding by the 11. Okay, now I know where I am. In order not to get mixed up, or if they got mixed up, they'd find their place. So they hold the thing, they push up the beads or the stones, and they find their place. So each one is holding that in his hand. Now, Reb Chaim Parchi knows that the king also uses such a thing, because he also has to go to daven, the Arab davening, and also he has to have a way not to get mixed up if he doesn't know where he is. So he holds one of those things. But Reb Chaim Parchi knew that nobody had such a string of 99 beautiful jewels. They only had made out of wood or made out of regular little rocks, but nobody had such a thing made out of beautiful jewels. And this was the plan. He took the beautiful 99 jewels on a string to the king's palace. And the guards announced that Reb Chaim Parchi has come to the palace to give a special present to the king. Oh, a present for me. Oh, from Reb Chaim Parchi. He's a rich man. Must be a good thing. Let him in. And right before he got into the room of the royal throne, he took the string out of the box, he untied the end, and he took off one of the beautiful jewels, and he put it in his pocket. And he tied the string again so the rest of them would not fall off. So how many jewels are going to be on the string that he's going to be giving to the king?
98.
98 jewels. One of them is gone in his pocket. Well, this is the plan. All of a sudden, they open the door to the royal room of the throne, and the king is sitting on the throne, and they blow the trumpets, beep, 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 announcing Reb Chaim Parchi with a special gift for the king, and the king is all excited. Oh, let me see. Thank you. Oh, a little box. What is it? A little long box. Oh, show me that. Oh, bring it here. Oh, I open it up. Oh, such beautiful stones, jewels, shining, beautiful colors. I never saw such a thing. Oh, on a string. Oh, davening things. Oh, beautiful. Ah, I never saw such a thing in my life. Oh, I could use it for the davening. Oh, let me count how much. 1, 2, 3. 10, 20, 70, 80, 97, 98. Oh, what? Hey, it's only 98. But the davening has, the Arab davening has 99. It means one is missing. I could not take it to the Arab davening if it's missing. Otherwise, I could take it. Everybody look at me. Oh, the king has a beautiful davening stones. Beautiful. Oh, we'd be so jealous. Everybody be jealous of me. I have such a nice thing. But this way, only has 98. I couldn't take it. Oh, the king starts getting angry. Why? He gives me a gift with only 98. If it should have 99. Oh, I'm so getting upset. All of a sudden, the king had an idea. Reb Chaim, Rabbi, maybe you could find one more stone like this, beautiful, like the other ones, and we could put it on the string with the other ones. Could you do this, Rabbi Reb Chaim Parchi? Now, Kinalach, this is what Reb Chaim was waiting for. Remember, he's getting a smart plan to help the Yidin, to help the Kinalach? Oh, this is what Reb Chaim is waiting for, because it has to be a smart plan. It can't be a regular plan, it has to be a smart plan. Now, out of the corner of his eye, Reb Chaim is looking at the Balgaiva officer who tells everybody he flies to Mecca on Friday and makes everybody bow down and say, a good day to you. All of a sudden, Reb Chaim says, King, as a matter of fact, I could arrange for you to get such a beautiful stone like that. But it's very far away. The king says, very far away? Oh, but I want to have this ready by Friday when I go to daven on the Arab special day, and I go to the place to daven. I want everybody to see my beautiful string of jewels. I hope you can get it by Friday for me. And Reb Chaim says, wait a minute, as a matter of fact, I think it could be done. Because I'll tell you where the jewel is. I heard that such a beautiful jewel is in Mecca. Far away in Saudi Arabia, in Mecca, there is such a jewel there. And I know where to find it there. But of course, it's going to take many, many days and weeks to travel all the way to Mecca and travel back. So it could be arranged for you to get the jewel, but it's going to take many days and many weeks, King. So the jewel could be arranged for the king, but I'm sorry, the king would not be able to have it for Friday. Maybe a few months from now on Friday. All of a sudden the king got excited. But wait a minute! And he turns to the officer. I have an officer here who could get it for me by Friday, because he flies to Mecca every Friday and he flies back. All you have to do is tell him where to find the jewel. He could get up early in the morning for once, and he could go early to Mecca. I'm sure he could fly there early. He can come back early. And if he fly to Mecca early and fly back, he could get the jewel for me. And by the time I'm ready, you know, I wake up a little late. I'm a king, you know, I don't wake up early. By the time that I go to daven late, over there where I daven, so I could get the jewel, and we could put it on the string, and when I go into the davening, everybody say, oh, look, the king has 99 jewels. So beautiful. And everybody look at me. So, officer, please, you do this favor. After all, why I make you to be my officer? Because you fly to Mecca and fly back. So I'm sure you could do this. Oh, he can't look at Chaim Parchi. He's looking at the out of the corner of his eye at the officer, of course, who's turning red. Like a watermelon. Like a red watermelon. Shh. Because, as I told you, the king believes his baloney maise. And everybody believed his baloney maise. Kinalach Reb Chaim did not believe the baloney maise. But the officer is now worried. Now the king expects him to go and fly to Mecca on Friday and come back with the jewel. And of course he knows he can't do it. And what's going to happen when he can't do it, Kinalach? Do you know what's going to happen? The king will get angry. And either he's going to say, you rebelled against the king and you didn't do what the king said. In which case, he could be chas v'shalom in the dungeon or worse. Maybe something uncomfortable will happen to his head that day if the king gets upset and he did something against the king. Or else, if he is found out to be a liar and a baloney man, making up stories that don't happen, and the king says, you don't really fly to Mecca, do you? You're only making it up to make yourself to be important, and that's why you got the job. And now the reason why you got the job is my officer is not there anymore. What's going to happen to the officer of the king? Do you think he's going to have his fancy uniform anymore? You think he's going to be in the king's palace anymore? No. Do you think he's going to get honor from the king anymore? No. Do you think he's going to get special honor and attention from anybody anymore? No. Do you think people will bow down to him anymore? No. Do you think people are going to say a good day anymore? No. Do you think people are going to say a good evening to you, officer, anymore? No. Or do you think maybe he's going to go work in the... He's probably going to have to go work in the gas station. Shh. And now, Kinalach, the officer is very nervous and he's very, very afraid. And the king says to the officer, "So, you will do this for me?" And the officer says, "What are you saying? I don't understand what you're saying." He didn't know what to say. He couldn't even speak. And the officer says to Reb Chaim Parchi, "Could you come here just for a second?" The king says, "What's going on over there?" King, just 1 minute. I want to figure out exactly how to fly fastest that I can on Friday. And I'm asking Reb Chaim, I know he's very smart. Maybe there's a faster way that I should fly there on Friday so I can get back even earlier with the stone for the king. That's what I'm asking him. And he knows all kinds of smart things. I'm asking him maybe directions to fly faster. You understand, King? That's what I'm doing for just 1 minute. Do you mind if I speak to Reb Chaim so I can get you faster this stone?" And the king says, "Oh, that's a good idea."